10. For some of you, and I know this, I think third service is a younger culture, right? You guys all younger? All you old, that gave you old people the chance right then. But it is a younger crowd, I think, third service. And so you, my illustration, you're not going to get. I remember growing up, and on all three of the channels on TV. Do you know that, young people? When I was growing up, there was ABC, CBS, and NBC. That's it. Now there's 3,000, I think. But back then there were three. And whenever something big was happening in the world, and by the way, they didn't do it very often, so when it happened, it was a big deal. Right in the middle of Queen for the Day or Leave it to Beaver, there would be this funny kind of, you know, static, and it would pause, and you thought, what's wrong? And your fantastic black and white picture would go over to a different black and white picture, and there would be an announcement, and it'd say special report on the screen, or bulletin. Remember the word bulletin? And would say, the announcer would say, we interrupt this program to bring you this special report, or we interrupt this program to bring you this bulletin. And they would say something like, and they would fill in the news. Everybody would stop, by the way, because it happens so rare. And I want you to hear that today. We interrupt this normal series of teaching to bring you this. Which reminds me of another program I grew up watching. I wonder if you saw this. There was a show. The guy was young at the time. I think his name was Walter Cronkite. And the show was called You Are There. How many of you remember that? Raise your hand. 5, 6, 10 of us. Why? What happened? It was very cool because all of a sudden, Walter Cronkite would say, you are there. And the next scene, he would be in the Civil War. And he would be a reporter dressed in his 1965 clothes, which were very cool. And he would be, he would walk up to like a colonel, a private, a general, and he would say, General Lee, what's happening right now? Can you tell us? And General Lee would be going like this, and he would say, well, this is what's going on. It was a great way to learn history, by the way. I loved it. Somebody should bring that stuff back. So listen, today, we interrupt this program to bring you this special report, this bulletin. Why? Because you are there. You really are. Today we're going to be talking about something that I need to announce in advance. But before I do that, the nature of it, I want you to grab your Bibles this morning and turn to the prophet of Ezekiel. Ezekiel. If you don't know where that is, you can close your Bible. And then right in the middle, you'll open it up to Psalms or Isaiah. Just go a little bit more to the right and you'll bump into the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel. He sells really cool surfboards and shirts. Ezekiel clothing line. Ezekiel. The great prophet. Ezekiel. Chapter 33. And if you are there, I'll just paraphrase these opening verses of the prophet. Why? Because it deals exactly with us today and what we're having to deal with. Ezekiel 33. Verse 1, again, I'll paraphrase right now for expedience. Once again, Ezekiel says, a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give your people this message. It's actually a warning. He says, when I bring an army against a country, interesting, huh? The people of that land will choose of their own someone to be a watchman, a man to go up on the tower and not survey the up close, but to survey the distant horizon. And when the watchman sees the enemy coming and he sounds the alarm to warn the people, then if those who hear the alarm refuse to take action, it is their own fault if they die. Verse 5, they heard the alarm but ignored it. So the responsibility is theirs. If they had listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and does not sound the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. They're going to die in their sins, but I will hold the watchman responsible for their deaths. This is exactly the ministry of the pastor. In any culture, historically, from Old Testament to New, from New Testament era of time in revelation of Scripture to this moment in America, for that matter, in any culture in the world, God's pastors are to blow the trumpet. They're supposed to do it fearlessly. They're supposed to do it without thought of their own lives. They are to warn the body of Christ against dangers coming. And I say that because you may find this interesting. I certainly did. Please listen carefully. Do not misquote me. In light of what's been happening globally in the last 6 weeks, because it's gotten very intense, I have been speaking out about what's happening in the Islamic world and the Middle East and all for a while. I've been speaking out about it a lot since 2007. But I decided a couple of weeks ago that I would pick this Sunday morning to address issues that are increasing, and I would use Ezekiel 33 as an example. Why am I telling you this? I normally wouldn't. This last week on Fox News, Bill O'Reilly challenged the pastors of America to step up and to educate and warn their congregations. I sat there as I was preparing for this, and I was absolutely dumbfounded. So I want to be very clear to you that I'm not getting my message today from Bill O'Reilly, though I appreciate his challenge. What I'm saying to you is, I was preparing for this. This day was set aside. And it just turns out that I believe by the hand of God, now thousands of pastors have decided to set their previously determined message for this Sunday aside and to pick up and address the issue today of Islam in the world. And I'm grateful for that. And so today, if you're fragile today, you might want to go. If you're fragile today, if you're really into political correctness, then you're not going to have a happy day here. If you like to be deluded and delusional about what's really happening around, then I give you fair warning. You need to run for your life. But if you want honest truth, and if you want, listen, if you want the truth, and here's the fun part, I specifically designed today to give you information intending for you not to believe it. I do not want you to believe what I'm saying. Now, psychologists will say, that's an old ploy. It's an old ploy to get people to believe everything you're saying when you say, don't believe a word I'm saying. I'm telling you right now, everything I'm telling you is, it's not secret information. It's all available if you're willing to go look and see. But you must know, as I blow the trumpet, what in the world is going on. So in your note-taking, mark it down. We are talking today about the revival of the Islamic State. What? That's not a new statement. Islamic State? It's 1,400 years old, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know that? 1,400 years old. We are experiencing today around the world the revival of the Islamic State. And you won't be experts by the end of this service, but you're going to be a lot smarter than you were when you walked in today about world history and about Islam's goals. So number one, I'm going to ask you to remember that we had already planned today when this on the screens happened on Thursday. Put your eyes to the screens.
Continuing now with our lead story, the Holy War. Joining us here in New York, Father Gerald Murray, pastor of the Holy Family Church. And from Dallas, Pastor Robert Jeffress, author of the new book, Countdown to the Apocalypse, Why ISIS and Ebola Are Only the Beginning. So Pastor, begin with you. Why do you think the White House neglected to mention the men beheaded in Libya were Christian?
This is a part of a disturbing pattern This president is continually lecturing us that we're not in a religious war against Islam. And while that's true, it's time for this president to get off of his high horse and acknowledge that radical Islam is in a religious war against us. And until we understand that, we won't understand where this is headed. These Islamists will not rest until they've exterminated every Jew and every Christian from the face of the earth. And if you think that is hyperbole, just listen to what they said on that Libyan beach after they butchered those 21 Christians. They said, "We are headed to Rome next." And while Rome may be their next stop, I guarantee you it won't be their final stop. They are coming after every one of us as well if we don't stop them now.
All right, the president doesn't want to overreact to this crew, ISIS. And behind the scenes, he's telling the American people, look, we're doing what we can to dismantle them. We're bombing them. We're using drones against terrorists. You know, we have an active alliance with 60 other nations to fight them. So he's not ignoring the threat, but he seems to be downplaying it. And again, I'm not sure why he's doing it. Do you have the why, Pastor?
Well, I think part of it is the influence of Islam on his own life. He sees radical Islam as a tiny minority. And while that's true, a powerful minority is much more potent than a passive majority. And I just don't think he can acknowledge this branch of Islam. And I think he's the Neville Chamberlain approach. If we can contain or ignore this threat, it will go away. Okay. Bill, this is not going away.
All right, so the Pope, you know, he's not generally an activist, a political activist, comes out and looked to me like he was angry about what happened, as he should be. I mean, these people, they were poor people, Father. These weren't activists or soldiers or anything like that. Poor people who went from Egypt to Libya to try to make a buck for their family, and they rounded them up and they cut their heads off. I mean, he doesn't get worse than that. So do you believe that the Pope will start to lead in the Holy War? Will he take an active leadership as the secular leaders are receding?
Well, I think the Pope will continue to say that the West has a duty to protect the innocent and fight this. And we have to recognize martyrdom is when you die for religious reasons. So the Pope is saying quite clearly, ISIS is killing people because they think that's what God wants them to do. The Pope is saying the truth is God does not want this kind of murderous criminal behavior. Mm-hmm. It's up, though, to the leaders with armies like our president to get out there and fight them.
But I wish he would say that. See, he doesn't say that. And again, I'm being unfair to the Pope because it's not his job to, you know, control the world and run the world. But if he would say something like that, Father, can you imagine the headlines? If he would say that America and the West has a moral obligation to neutralize or destroy the jihad, that would be an enormous story, but I don't see him doing that.
Well, he did say back in the summer that we have to stop ISIS in reference to what's happening in Iraq and Syria. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's face it, we don't have to wait for the Pope to tell us what to
do. No, we don't.
And, you know,
we
the
don't.
United States of America is a moral leader in the world. Where's the moral leadership?
There isn't any.
This is ridiculous.
Right. But Pastor Jeffers, Father Murray poses an interesting question. Where is the moral leadership? There is no moral leadership in the entire world. It's not just Barack Obama. It's Europe.
Yep.
It's, you know, there. You know, the King of Jordan got outraged after his guy got burned to death, and he started to do something. The Australian Prime Minister was outraged after they went to Sydney and gunned down people there. But a cohesive moral leadership does not exist on this earth. And I think that's the theme of your book, is it not?
It really is. And Bill, I believe in the prophecies of the Bible that things are going to get worse before the Lord returns, but that is no excuse for fatalism. And I believe that Christians ought to be on the forefront of fighting this evil. And this is unmitigated evil,
no doubt,
burning people alive. And listen, and that is why I am calling on Christians everywhere, Catholics and Protestants together, to join with our Jewish friends and demand that this president do whatever is necessary, including boots on the ground, to eradicate this cancer.
You know, I think that's
ISIS
a good idea. I think
Islam before it destroys us.
I think that's a good idea. I think all Christians, Jews, and secularists who love their country and want to protect humanity should email and call the White House and say enough. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Would you get behind that?
Absolutely. Look, we don't maintain a military so they can stay in barracks. They're supposed to go out and defend us. People are being killed all the time by ISIS. We get complaints. I'm very happy that the Egyptians and the Jordanians took some action. We need to take action.
Okay, and we're not talking about occupation or anything like that. But I'm going to also make a call, gentlemen, and I hope you'll be with me on this. For every cleric in the country, next Sunday, Saturday, Friday in the mosques, with the imams, to address this with their congregation and to say enough. That we people of good faith have to tell our leader to get in gear. I'd like to see every cleric in this country do that. You guys agree?
I'm going to talk about
it. Pastor, you going to agree? All right, let's make that happen. And I want every pastor, every priest, every rabbi, and every imam to email me personally and tell me you're going to do that. And I'll read as many on the air as I can. Gentlemen, thanks very much.
I did email Bill O'Reilly, and I told him thank you for picking up my talking points and doing the program on Thursday. Again, I'm just going to ask you this morning to pay maybe a little bit closer attention, not because I'm up here or because you're there, but because maybe God wants to say something. If he uses, for example, Fox News in this particular segment to announce to America's pastors to say something, and this particular church already had this day planned, then just maybe we ought to pay attention to what we're about to hear. Number one thing, keep this in mind. Yes, thank God, the Pope is getting stirred up and the Catholics are getting very concerned, especially in the light of the last few days. Why? Because ISIS has declared with their victory in Libya and Algeria that they would now be heading to Rome. They're going to be attacking Rome, says ISIS. They are now, as of this morning, 500 miles from Rome. What's going on in the world? What is happening? And I want to ask you this question today. Why is Islam desiring to attack Italy, for that matter? Why is Islam outside of its Arabian Peninsula? Just asking you that question. Where was Islam born? In the peninsula of what is today Saudi Arabia. I want you to be thinking about that for a moment. It's relatively new on the block, some 1,400 years ago. It follows Judaism, it follows Christianity, the Bible was intact, and then comes Islam. I want to ask you a question. I want you to be thinking. And I want you to be careful not to get your education from any news service, including Fox, CNN, and certainly not from your high school or university campus. It's absolutely a shame. So I want you to be thinking today, and I want you to be a very, very bright and educated people about what we're looking at. Mark it down in your notes, first of all, that when we hear the term or the word radical Islam, you've all heard that. I want you to know the reason why you've all heard that is because it is a uniquely Western American creation. Did you know that? Prior to the Bush administration, there was no such terminology of radical Muslim or radical Islam. Did you know that? It was invented by us, we, the West. Why? Because it felt better for us to divide a group of people based upon the talking points that we were hearing from the Muslim community. Those are radicals. Those are radicals. So we would look at the word radical. If you do a dissection or the pathology of the origin of the word radical, its beginnings comes out of the word root. A root, or the root. For example, there's orange trees on campus. If you want to have a really, really healthy, strong orange come from an orange tree, you want to make sure that you get the vitamins down to the roots. If the roots are strong, it means it will be the most authentic orange tree producing oranges possible. Are you with me? When you go to the root, you are known to be going to the source. When you say, let's get to the root of the matter, what are you saying when you do that? We want to get to the source of the matter. Are we not saying that? Do you understand that? So when we say radical Muslim or radical Islam, what are we saying? We are saying source Islam, source Muslim. Pure Muslim, pure Islam. That's what the word means. But our administration would have you believe that, don't worry, there's a crazy fringe out there called extremists. They're not even radical Muslims. Our administration will not use the term radical Muslims or radical Islam together. Now, if you're a Muslim this morning and you're here right now, you may not agree with me publicly, but you'll have to agree with me privately. Islam is not a religion. Does that come as a shock to you? Islam has a religious aspect to it. Islam has a military aspect to it. Islam has a social aspect to it. Islam has a judicial branch to it called Sharia. Islam has an educational system of it. Islam has all of these various ribs that prop up the umbrella of a world dominated by the Arabic meaning of the word Islam. Contrary, I just saw it the other day, a spokesperson for the Council for American Islamic Relations said to the American public, lied straight through her teeth. She said, the word Islam means peace. The word Islam means submit. But you know what? If we're not thinking, if we're not researching for ourselves, if we're busy watching the Kardashians and the Rams play the goats, we won't know what's going on. But we need to know the truth because, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the world has changed. Under our noses, it's changed. It will never go back to being the same. Because the toothpaste is out of the tube. Or in this case, the jihad has gone global. This is not my opinion. And so Rome meets to gather its military forces and political leaders to figure out on Thursday night, what are they going to do about the Islamic threat that has promised to invade Rome? Why are they concerned, ladies and gentlemen? Because they've invaded Rome before. They know their history. And it's coming again. I want to ask you, think, why is it coming again? So, guys, get ready to put the first video on the screen. Prepare it. I need to prepare you for what you're about to see. Number one, this was put together by Professor Bill Warner. And it is excellent. Watch it carefully. Every white dot you see appear on the screen will be a military advancement of Islamic forces. Did y'all hear what I'm saying? I just said, did y'all hear what I'm saying? Isn't Pastor Jeffers a little fireball? I've met him several times. He's only about yahoo big. That little guy, he is a powerful little man. And pray for me. He and I are going to be speaking on Islam in the world in Minneapolis, Minnesota pretty soon together. And he is exciting. Every dot you see appear on this map in white is the advancement of the military of Islam, the Islamic State. And then in the far, and it's going to turn red once they have a victory. Okay, on the map, you'll see this. So watch that. And at the same time, it's going to be hard for you. I'm warning you up front. On the top right-hand corner, there's going to be the dates. This is very critical. The dates of when these events take place. These are Islamic invasions. If you know your geography, tell me you don't. Tell me you know your geography. You're going to recognize these nations being invaded by Islam under jihad. The advancement of Islam to conquer the world. To establish what's it called? A caliphate. To close the circle on the moon that's above every mosque. Okay, you with me? Put your eyes to the screens. Look in the right corner. Watch the dots. The green is the caliphate, Islamic-controlled lands. The red dots are victories. The white dots are campaigns. Keep your eye on Spain and North Africa. Watch Italy, Sicily. Watch portions of Britain, including France. And this is Islam. Note the years in the right-hand corner, 800 AD, 840. The caliphate in green grows, 860. It's continued to bludgeon these nations into submission. The year 920, Spain is nearly totally consumed. By the year 1000, watch what happens. The caliphate is well established. Europe is being engulfed by Islam. The Middle East is controlled by Islam. There's a few wars that are taking place in the region of Iran, but predominantly Spain's consumed. The Middle East is taken. Israel in that region of the world. And this whole part in green is lands brought under Sharia law, controlled by the Islamic caliphate. That is what they want to achieve in the United States. That's what they're doing in London right now with dual Sharia courts next to parliamentary law. Again, Spain's consumed. Now Algeria, Libya, Egypt consumed. It will spread to Chad, Sudan, and Niger as the caliphate expands and continues. Year 1420. Before Christopher Columbus, was sent out to find a new trade route to avoid the Barbary pirates and its piracy. Islam takes over much of that part of the entire region of that continent, and continents, I should say. The year 1600, Spain is completely, and Andalusia and La Habra, completely consumed by Islam. There's a little bit of a recession as there's sporadic breakups, but nonetheless in great control. 1760, just before the birth of America. Continued wars. The white dots are battles. The red dots are victories. Many, 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 many hundreds of battles, consenting to 1880. Now the Civil War is over. The Industrial Revolution is underway. 1920, the caliphate is in power in the green, and the warlike state continues. Did you see that? We covered a time frame a moment ago from 624 AD to 1920s. You get that? All of those dots historically documented by professors of history. Islam, Muslims will not deny those victories. In fact, they'll boast about them. What was the last part that you saw? What year was it? 19 what? 20s? How many of you heard of the Crusades? Those horrible, horrible Crusades that actually were responsible, we are told by our president and his administration and other liberals, that are the very things that bred the Islamic uprising. That in Israel. Well, let me remind you, first of all, Israel was not even a nation in 1920. So let's remove Israel off the table. But if you go to Cal Poly, if you go to UCI and UCLA and USC, that's all you hear. The reason why the Islamic world has got their knickers in a wad is because Israel exists. Did you know that? Did you know, according to Islamic doctrine, Israel cannot continue to exist because as long as Israel exists, Allah cannot rule the world? That's why Israel's got to go. Did you know that? They got to go, or else the Quran's not true. Well, I read my Bible. Israel ain't going anywhere. That's what the Bible says. But you say, well, Pastor, I thought you just said there was no Israel at that time. That's right. Let me clarify. Before May 14, 1948, there was no Jewish state because for 2,000 years they had been conquered by Rome and then dispersed throughout all the nations of the world. It wasn't until May 14, 1948 in one day that Israel became a nation again in one day. So all of this jihad activity has nothing to do with Israel. Not according to the map you saw, but then it must be those doggone Crusades. Now, granted, let me tell you something. Historically, I agree. There were people using the Crusades inside the Crusades to do mischief. There's no doubt about that. You say, well, that's your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. Before I set you up for this, I want to ask you this question. If Islam started advancing into Europe beginning in 624 AD, and it made its way all the way into Europe. What was Islam doing in Europe all those centuries? What were they doing there? Why were they there? When did the Crusades begin? And how many Crusade battles were there anyway? You saw the map earlier. Watch this map. These are the wars of the Crusades, the Crusader Wars. Starts out in 1080, 1140, notice the locations, goes out to 1200, 1220, 1240, 1260 AD, end of story. You've been told that the Crusades were this horrible thing. Of course they were a horrible thing if you were Muslim. Did you see those battles? Those are historic, actual, documented Crusade battles. Listen. On September 11th, 1683, for example, September 11th, the King of Poland mustered an army. They're called Crusaders in this particular 1683. And they went to war. And they launched a battle against the Muslim invaders, which is, by the way, the word Philistine means invader. Where was that battle? The Muslims suffered a humiliating defeat. So much so, Osama bin Laden was devoted to reclaiming on the calendar September 11th. September 11th, 1683, the European forces defeated the Islamic forces at the gates of Vienna. Does anybody know where Vienna is? Austria. Very good. What were the Muslims doing in Austria? If Islam's peaceful, then what were they doing in Europe? I want you to think about that for a second. The truth is that we are experiencing right now a revival in the Islamic State that began in 624 AD, and it's ebbed and flowed from time to time, but this time with a vengeance unlike the other times. The recent events that I needed to address today was what kind of a human crucifies children at the age of 2 years of age? What kind of people cage others and burn them alive in cages? Now look, I have said often, and my wife does not want me to say this, for those of you who can handle it, make sure your children are not around. I believe every American needs to see the beheadings that are taking place and the people being burned alive that are taking place. They need to see the women who are being literally killed by being raped in every possible way. And if you don't like what I'm saying, why is it that this is happening and people are shouting, Allahu Akbar? Do you know what, by the way, I talked to an Islamic expert this week, just to confirm it so I didn't try to pull a new wool over your eyes. Do you know what Allahu Akbar means? It's not God is great. Did you know this? It's not God is great. It's God is greater. Technically, it's their God is greater, Allah. Interesting statement. Greater than who? Why are they shouting this? What are they trying to convince themselves of? You see, people don't like to talk about this because it rings fear into the heart. And I want you to hear something right now. I assume that I'm speaking to Christians today. Listen, Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again from the grave, and the grave will not contain the believer. When we die in this world, we go immediately to the Lord. If you begin to entertain fear because of these lunatics running around in their mother's shower curtain, crucifying babies, here's the deal. That is a sign of demonism. Do you understand that? No human, no matter how much you hate somebody, will do that to another human. That's demonic activity. You are living in a demonized age now, ladies and gentlemen. And their goal, they have figured something out. In fact, the Muslim Brotherhood teaches this. Muslim Brotherhood. Those of you who go to college, look up the MSA. MSA, the Muslim Student Association or the Muslim Student Assembly on your campus. They're a branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. Read their charter from 1928. A sworn statement on the internet, you can read it, vowing for the destruction of the United States of America because they cannot subdue Israel without removing America. That's why you're called the Great Satan. Did you know that? Are you an American today? Do you live here? You're called the Great Satan by Muslims. Did you know that? And you say, well, not my Muslim friends. They're very nice. I'm not saying that they're not nice. Are they root Muslims? Are they devout Muslims? If your friends are devout Muslims, they have a horrific day of reckoning coming very soon for them. They are going to have to choose between the caliphate and being a nice neighbor to you. Think of that. They have no choice one way or the other. I'd like to side with Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death. Because listen, I know where I'm going when I die. And last week, 21 Christians were singled out, discovered to be Christians, and beheaded on that Mediterranean coast. Just this last week, 45 or 46 Iraqis from the peacekeeping or the Iraqi police department in the area of al-Baghdadi were singled out and found out. It's assumed from what we're hearing that they were Christians. So ISIS went about, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And if you saw what happened, if you haven't, go see what happened. They were captured And they were brought to the front lines. Do you know what the front lines are at? You guys know. I hope you know. We announced this a week ago that our United States Marines were surrounded at Al Asad Air Base. 321 Marines surrounded by 10,000 ISIS guys. And if we've done anything about it so far, no one knows because our military leaders are livid. But the point being, they tried to drive suicide bombers into the base, and the Marines responded, and they didn't make it. And so the next thing they did is that they went and got those 45, 46 Iraqis, who they think were Christians, and brought them within 2.5 miles of the air base and in sight of the Marines. While, by the way, we have cameras overhead flying in drones. And they put these guys in a cage. They poured gasoline over all of them and lit them, waiting for the Marines to come out. But the Marines didn't take the bait. Why? Jihad. Yes, a minority of Muslims are physically fighting, but that is a minority of 75 million worldwide, as far as we can tell. I need to encourage you. Jesus said there'd be days that would come upon the earth that would so try men's hearts that their physical hearts would fail them for fear. But Jesus said that if you have the Son, if you have Him, you're free. The Bible says that God will never leave us, the believers, or forsake us. You say, Jack, are you're contradicting yourself. Those Christians on the beach, they got their heads cut off. Yes, they did. Are you suggesting that God abandoned them because they got their heads cut off? Or are you suggesting because they got their heads cut off, God must have abandoned them? No, listen, the Bible says that some of us will die for our faith. See, it all comes down to this, ladies and gentlemen. The West is having to wake up to the fact, do you love your life in this world more than you love God? You see, do we love our annual pass to the Magic Kingdom more than we love the fact that we have brothers and sisters perishing right now, like never before that we know of worldwide? Huh? Think of it. You say, Jack, I don't want to hear this. And this is our problem. Listen, I have to tell you something. You want to know how good God is to me? If I would have decided to do this message after Bill O'Reilly had that program, I wouldn't be here today. I'd quit. I'd consider myself a coward. I thank God because God knows how I think. He had to put this in my heart, knowing in advance that I would hear Bill O'Reilly challenge America's pastors. Because I ain't going to take a challenge from somebody that's outside the pulpit. You know what I'm saying? I'm just grateful that God used that program and Bill O'Reilly to put a huge exclamation point on what we're talking about today. Why? Because our administration won't talk about this. And I'll prove it to you. I want to show you a map of this week. Go ahead and put it up on the screens, you guys. This is this week. Now, you just saw the video a moment ago of the expanding Islamic caliphate of 624 to 1920, correct? This is today, or a few days ago anyway, February 20th. Algeria, Libya, Lebanon, Egypt, Jordan, Syria. How'd you like to be Israel living in that neighborhood? Ay, oy vey. Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Yemen, Somalia, Indonesia, Jakarta. Those parts there of the world. East Timor and the like. Think of that for a moment. That's now. And it's growing. You say, how are they doing that? How are they expanding like that? Because the last expansion, listen, do I have your attention? The expansion you saw earlier was by horseback and camel. This one, you know how this one is? Internet. ISIS is going online and they're asking people in Indonesia to rise up. They are shipping to them orange jumpsuits to put their victims in because that is a mockery of Guantanamo Bay. Did you know that? That's why they all have to be in orange. The victims all have to be in orange. And in Islamic theology, the war is not over until you decapitate the king. That's why decapitation is mandated in Islam. It's not by lethal injection. It will never be. It will be by decapitation. So what's happening right here? You can say today, I don't want to hear this. Listen, I understand where you're coming from. My emotions don't want to hear this stuff either. But ladies and gentlemen, you've been reading in your Bible that these are the last days, and now they've come. And so what do we do? Well, first of all, biblically, there's only one thing to do, and that is to seek the Lord. Because the Bible shows us throughout history that sometimes God holds back an enemy when people cry out to him. And he holds back the atrocities. That's what happened in Nineveh. Listen, even God himself declared destruction upon Nineveh, and those knuckleheads turned and cried out to God. And for 40 years, he withheld his judgment upon that godless nation. We have a problem, though, ladies and gentlemen, because we have a president who has a profound affinity towards Islam. He was taught in Islamic schools. His mother, though she was a white woman, not a Muslim, became a Muslim and married Barack Obama's dad, who was a Muslim. She converted to Islam. Then he died, or left her. I don't remember which. Doesn't matter. She married again to another Muslim. Barack Obama was raised in Islamic doctrines and influences. I am not saying he's a Muslim. I happen to agree with Dinesh D'Souza. I had a conversation with Dinesh D'Souza, and he said, and I asked him that question. He said, no, believe it or not, he said he's the ultimate chameleon, our president. Whoever he's with, that's what he is. And to save his own skin, he will be whatever he needs to be. And right now, he perceives that Islam, based on his upbringing, is going to repeat what it did 1,000 years ago. He's picking a side, ladies and gentlemen. And if you doubt what I'm saying, go and listen or read the manuscripts of his 2009 speech in Cairo. It's available to you. And so having said that, he spoke a few weeks ago at the Christian-founded, Christian event called the National Day of Prayer. Did you know that? It's called the National Day of Prayer. I had a chance to go to that twice in Washington, D.C. And it's hosted and created by Christians. They invented it. And they invite the president. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Presidents always go to it. Did you see what happened? Because he has no further elections to campaign for, he doesn't care what happens now, so he's going for it. And he's speaking to a bunch of Christians. He didn't mention once Islam in a negative light, not once. But listen to what he says about Christians or the Christian witness. Go ahead, play the tape.
A brutal, vicious death cult that, in the name of religion, carries out unspeakable acts of barbarism, terrorizing religious minorities like the Yazidis, subjecting women to rape as a weapon of war, and claiming the mantle of religious authority for such actions. And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ in our home country. Slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ. So it is not unique to one group or one religion. There is a tendency in us, a sinful tendency that can pervert and distort our faith.
Question, do you think he is intelligent? Don't be mean. Don't say something silly. Do you think he's intelligent? I do. I think he's intelligent. I mean, we don't know his grades. We've never been allowed, honestly, to see his grades. His educate and Michelle's are both sealed records. First time in American history that a president, you cannot see his grades. But let's assume he's bright. If we give him that, then what in the world is he saying? Think of this for a moment. He will not connect radical Islam, radical Muslim together, even when Nadal Hassan is in the United States as a U.S. colonel, handing out Qurans the week that he starts shouting Allah Akbar in Arabic and starts killing American soldiers on base as he is a colonel killing American soldiers. Did you know that? Screaming Allah Akbar. And the Obama administration investigated it as workplace violence. I tell you something right now. If I jumped up and started shouting Jesus is Lord and started throwing tomatoes at you, I'd be arrested for terrorism and Christian, you know, violence. What's going on here? He's either smart or not smart. He either knows what he's talking about or he doesn't know what he's talking about. Have you noticed, ladies and gentlemen, please write this down. Don't miss it and use it from this moment on as a guide for you. Do you know what ISIS means? The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. They have had such profound breakneck speed victories that they quickly changed their name. Did you know that? To an ancient name. The Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. You ever heard of that? If you're French, you know what Levant means. It's a French term. It's in association with, are you sitting down? It's in association with the Islamic jihads that conquered the Middle East and the Levant. All of Jordan, Israel, that region, toward France into Europe. Barack Obama calls ISIS ISIL. Why? I'd like to know why. Where did he learn this? I had to look it up. I had to study it. Where did he get that from? Why has he appointed, for example, 5 members of the Muslim Brotherhood to his staff? How come? Why is it that on the Department of Defense revised version of the military instruction manual, if I think about it, I'll give you the page numbers, where it says, this is new, within the last six years, there's a paragraph in a chapter that says that we all need to be careful regarding extremism. Extremism. Think of this for a moment. Extremism. They cite, and I almost quote verbatim, for example, in colonial America, there were extremists in the formation of this nation, comma, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, and Patrick Henry. The Department of Defense manual, the new one, says those three guys are extremists. That would only be true if you agree with Osama bin Laden, who said prior to the 9/11 attacks, to the 1920, one failed, those 19 jihadists, we must bring down the United States, and there's three things that must be conquered. Listen to this. Osama bin Laden knew more than you and I know. Those three documents, he said, must be completely destroyed. One, the Declaration of Independence. Well, listen. Two, the Constitution. Three, the Bill of Rights. Who said this? Osama bin Laden. What else did he go on to say? He said, because they are Christian documents. If you're a school teacher and you said today, let's turn to our Christian documents. Isn't that interesting? What's going on here? What's happening? Next slide, you guys. This is fantastic. By the way, this is what happens when you dumb down America. Did you know this? I say, did you know this? Probably a whole bunch of people would jump up and say, yeah, I knew that. I was taught that in high school. Obama said that Islam was woven into the fabric of our country since its founding. Did you know that? If you go to college today, that's true. It wasn't true 260 years ago. Well, it's true today. Look, they even put up a picture there of our founding fathers. That's interesting. Let's leave that on the screen for a second. Let's do a little bit of correction here. A moment ago, you saw a clip that Barack Obama led you to believe that Christians tolerated slavery. Do you know who abolished slavery in America? Christians. Do you know who abolished slavery in Europe? It started in England? A Christian, a man by the name of William Wilberforce. He's a hero of mine. Do you want to know who's been conducting slavery, the slave market, for the last 1,400 years? You want to buy some people today? We can go to Tripoli today and buy some people. You want to go to Sudan? We can buy some people. You want to buy some 12-year-old girls for sex slaves? I know who you can buy them from. Islamic Barbary Coast slave traders that have been in business for 1,400 years. Everybody wants to talk about, and it's tragic, don't get me wrong, it was horrible that the Europeans and the Americans had slaves. No one's ever stopped to ask where the Europeans and the Americans bought the slaves from. From the Barbary Coast, Islamic pirates. That's a fact, and it's a fact still today. Little history lesson. So that's the deal, huh? Since our founding? Okay. We'll give him this. It's kind of true. Why? Because even before the creation of the colonies, it was very, very dangerous to traffic the Mediterranean through the Straits of Gibraltar because of the Barbary pirates. Go read history, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever heard of the Corsairs? Anybody? Have you heard of that? Those are Muslim ships. Those are Muslim warships. Did you know that? Did you know that they would take ships and they would scuttle the ships and they would take the people and sell them? Did you know that North Africa, Algeria, Tripoli, Montezuma? Did you know that's where whites, white Americans, white Europeans, and North African blacks were sold on the market? You never thought about white Europeans and Americans being slaves. But they were. Some of them, in history, you can know their names. Some of them were officers of the United States themselves. Now listen to this. George Washington said, you can read it for yourself, don't believe a word I'm telling you. George Washington said, we're going broke, paying tribute to the Barbary pirates. Did you know we were doing that? $4 million a year. We paid tribute to the Barbary pirates to leave us alone so we could trade in Europe. But they wouldn't keep the treaty. So Washington talked to a guy by the name of Jefferson. Washington asked Jefferson, what are your thoughts on this? Are you listening? Yes. Listen to this. Barack Obama said that Thomas Jefferson had a Quran. No, wait. Thomas Jefferson had a Quran. See? What does that imply? Until you read Jefferson. I can't use the language we're in church right now of what Jefferson said. But you can fill in the blank. Thomas Jefferson requested a Quran. He was given a Quran. He was asked why he wanted a Quran. He said, because we're going to war with these crazy beep, and I want to know how to defeat them. Thomas Jefferson said that. That's why he had a Quran. He started talking with a guy by the name of John Adams. A plan was concocted to take a couple of merchant ships and convert them into warships. They would sail through the Strait of Gibraltar, and they would go to Egypt. They would land in Alexandria. A guy that commanded this black ops, literally, under a cloak of secrecy, was a guy by the name of William Eaton. And William Eaton took with him about eight guys that he called the U.S. Marines. They invented them on the spot. I mean, Tum's Tavern, they had discussed it in 1775, but this, listen to this. This is so cool. Eaton with these guys began to walk from Alexandria, Egypt to Tripoli. Oh, by the way, are you a Marine? From the halls of how's the song go? Sing it. To the shores of... You ever heard that song before? It's the Marine Corps anthem. Did you know that is a song about defeating Muslim jihadists? Did you know that? Now listen. Check this out. They got all the way over to Algeria and they freed these black, Europe, and American slaves. That was the United States' first naval battle, clandestine mission, and international war was against Islamic pirates. We have been at war with Islam because they have been at war with us first since the founding of this nation. And George Bush and Barack Obama refused to say that we're at war with Islam. Listen, nobody wants to be at war with anybody. Are you Christians? Nobody wants to be at war with anybody. I'm with Abraham Lincoln. At the Lincoln Memorial, Lincoln said, "I'm for peace, but my enemy is for war." What are you going to do, ladies and gentlemen? What are you going to do? If you want peace, but the guy next door to you, let's say some man next door to you, he wants to have war with you, but you don't want to have war. Do you know what I'm talking about? Now look, this gets down to the Tweedledee, Tweedledum stuff. Because all of a sudden, some of you are you're getting a little nervous because it's separating theory from facts. Because listen, you can sit in class and play with your theories all day long. But when you grow up and have to live in the real world, theories don't work. So you can say, I don't want to do anything to my neighbor. But your neighbor says, "Oh, tomorrow I'm going to come over and I'm going to kill your dog." Well, it's only a dog. All right, so it's just your dog. Who cares? And then 3 months later, your neighbor says, "I enjoyed that so much. I'm going to come over. I'm going to kill your fish and your cat and your kids." You say, "Oh, that never happened." Theory. There's jihadists heading towards the West right now as I stand here. And they're 500 miles within Rome. Factor theory. See, people who live in a theoretical world, they just pull the blanket over their face and they go back to bed or they drink themselves into oblivion. I don't know what they do. But culturally and socially, they're very much good for nothing. We live in a fallen world. The Bible says there's going to be wars until Jesus comes back. Anybody that's sane doesn't want a war. But if somebody says, "Listen, we're going to kill you," as soon as you find that out, you go to where they live in their continent and stop them there. Because you cannot stop them. You cannot stop them. You cannot stop them at Catalina. You can't stop them when they come down from Canada into Maine. It's too late. You understand? Here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who are in law enforcement, you already know where I'm going with this one. The Muslim Brotherhood Charter encouraged Muslims to carry out the jihad by immigration in 1928. They're already here. Something's going to happen. And here's where I must end. Your faith in Jesus Christ is becoming more precious than anything you can ever have imagined. Let me make something very clear. If you're an atheist today, I love you, and I want you to know that. I'm serious. I got news for you. I don't mean to offend any of you Christians, but I'm very at home with atheists. You want to know why? Because I know where they're coming from. If somebody tells me, "I don't believe in God," then I expect him or her to be off the charts. And that's okay with me. Do you understand that? But when somebody says they're a Christian, now I expect something. I expect you to be radicalized. And be just like Jesus. Wait, listen. Remember what radical means? To the root. To the source. It's my goal in life to be a radical Christian. That means I love like Jesus. I care like Jesus. I pursue justice. I want to help the hurting. I want to save life. I want to avoid war. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to be radical. I want to be a radical Christian. Because I follow Jesus. Every Muslim you and I know, you start asking them, "Who do you model your life after? In your religion, who do you want to be like? You know the answer. It's Muhammad. Who? When he encountered the Quraysh tribe in the Arabian Peninsula of Jews, his men confiscated the people. And Muhammad himself, I'm telling you from Islamic writing, this is Islamic history from their books, Muhammad slit the throats of 600 and some odd people himself. Himself. So I want to ask you today, do you want to be like Jesus or do you want to be like Muhammad? Do you want to follow the Bible or do you want to follow the Quran? Listen, do you want to know the facts or do you want to live in a delusion? Or illusion. This is very serious stuff, ladies and gentlemen. And yet, I'm full of hope, and here's the reason why. No matter what my nation decides to do, I have a citizenship that comes from heaven. If all fail me, and if all turn their back on me, I have my Lord Jesus who will never abandon me. If I'm crucified or burned alive or died of a heart attack, Jesus will never leave me. To be absent from the body, says the Bible, is to be present with the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you, even my Muslim friend, would believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. Go find that in your book. Unless God intervenes in the United States, as a secular nation, there's no hope. If God intervenes in the United States, it will be because one group of people will cry out to God. Only one. I'm speaking from Old and New Testament truth. If Christians will cry out to God, he may spare this nation yet. The answer to America's future is sitting in this room. Vote biblically. Don't tell me you don't vote, because when you don't vote, you get people in the office like you have right now because you sat out the vote. Get involved in your culture because the other guys are. You become the police chief. You become the mayor. You become the dog catcher. You get involved in the PTA. You do it. Someone's going to do it. And we've already seen how that goes when we abandon ship. I got to end this. I could go for days on this. But I have stood on the wall and I've blown the trumpet this morning. And listen, I would rather look Jesus in the face after today than deal with any fallout from any mortal. Because as the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Dear God in heaven, we pray now as a church for the United States of America. We pray for Mexico and Canada. Lord, we pray for England and France. We pray for Europe. We pray for Libya, Algeria, Egypt. We pray for Egypt and Jordan who are asking for our help right now at this hour. And God, we pray that number one, you would visit our president by visions or by dreams tonight. Like you did to Nebuchadnezzar, speak to him. We pray, Lord God, that you turn this nation around, and if you do, it will begin in this house. It will begin in our hearts. And Christians from every stripe, every denomination, will begin to cry out to the living God. And we pray, Father, that you'd protect our Marines as they're surrounded right now in Iraq, and give grace to those who are dying in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Church, let's stand.